once again. It's so good to be with you after Christmas. Did you get all the presents that you hoped you would get? Did all the presents arrive that you thought you would get? Were you blessed? Wasn't it wonderful to be amongst family? Or did you argue and have fights? Were you disappointed, frustrated? Or were you filled with joy? And the way to always be filled with joy and never to be dissatisfied with the presents that people bring you is for you and I to have our understanding change so that our joy is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. I would like to speak to you just as you are now. You are perhaps a young person with all the rest of your life, which you somehow think is a long, long time. And the old people will tell you, time goes quickly when you get older, and the older you get, the faster it goes. And you can't understand that for anything. You have a serious thought in your heart. The thought is, I'm going to live, and I want all sorts of things to cause me to live. And so you look at the things of earth, and the things of earth, believe it or not, whether you like it or not, will grow strangely dim in the light of the glory and grace of the Lord Jesus. Somebody, I'm sure, listening to me somewhere, got an expensive piece of jewellery, a new car or something remarkable. Others amongst you were in a bit of a pickle and you didn't have too much, but you've had a nice time gathering together. Some of you visited with families and some of you didn't. And so it goes on. Some of you were very lonely. Some of you were overwhelmed with the amount of people and the noise in your house. The giggle and the chortle of children is something of great delight to older people. Let me now speak to you who are older. Somehow, as you get older, you sort of wake in the morning and you say, well, I got through that night and I've got a new day in front of me. And then at other times you sort of come to the end of the day and you're disappointed, you've not achieved what you thought you might, and you feel as if you've been lazy and haven't done anything, or you haven't got this done, that done, and the other. And so it goes on in our lives. It's a tragedy. If you're older, let me remind you of Jesus. The gift of Christmas is the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, not just in our home or in our church or in the song service or in the carol service or whatever we want to call, it's within. Jesus is within. Jesus said this. He said, I'll give you joy, and no man can take away the joy that I give. Nobody can take away the joy that is in your heart. I am your joy. When your focus is on the Lord Jesus, you know that if you don't wake up in the morning, you'll have crossed that Jordan River and you've landed safe on Canaan's side, and you'll know that you're in the presence of Jesus, which will bring you enormous joy, joy beyond anything you could ever experience on earth. As I was coming to the studio this morning, the roads were slippery because of the weather, and I was watching different cars as I was travelling, and I was thinking of one of my grandsons who's going off to college, and I saw a car for sale, and I thought, he'd love that car. I must pray and ask the Lord if I can have the money and I'll buy the car and give it to him. But I don't think that's a wise thing. I thought that. I don't think it's necessarily wise to do that. But I do know this, that I would like him to express himself in that he has a great deal of joy in his heart, joy in his soul, joy in his spirit, joy in his life, joy in his peace. You see, we have to pray for the peace of God. We have to ask God to give us the peace of God that passeth all understanding and that fadeth not away. I need that. You need that. We all need to know exactly what God is saying to us when it comes to the joy of the Lord. When we get older, we think about dying, we think about living, we think about another day, we think about, oh dear, another night. We think of these various things, and we're not quite sure how to sort them out. Well, I would like to start off by saying this to you, that the gift of God is eternal life. That's God's gift to us at Christmas and any other day in the year. So we come to this place where I would suggest that you turn to, and we need to understand what is being said in the Gospel of John and chapter 3. If you go to the 6th verse, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Jesus then goes on, and he says in verse 7, "Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea. Jesus grew up as a child, just as we grew up as children. He had to fight the same vicissitudes of life that we fought. He had to face life as it was dealt to him day by day, just as we do. Yet Jesus was without sin. Jesus did not cause sin. And he says, if we are born again, we have a brand new spirit. This is the gift of God at Christmas time to you and I. We have the great ability, the wonderful purpose in life to have been given new life. And this new life incorporates that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Now, if I understand what is born of the Spirit, I am spiritually alive. If I am alive spiritually, now I have a purpose, a spiritual purpose in my daily walk. For Jesus is my daily bread. For Jesus is the light of my path. Jesus has become my way, my truth, my life. Jesus has become the bread. I feed on this Jesus. And as I know Jesus, Jesus becomes altogether lovely, altogether fine. Jesus becomes to me a wonderful, wonderful person. Some years ago, I was sitting in a meeting, and it was a sort of strange meeting that we were all pastors of some sort or another. And eventually, one of the fellows blurted out, "I don't know this Jesus you're talking about." And I was absolutely flummoxed to know what to say to this man. And everybody else was silent at that moment. And I heard myself saying, "Then you have no ministry. And you should not be in any ministry until Jesus is in your heart." In other words, you and I need to know Jesus Christ, and we need to be Christocentric, Christ-centered. If Jesus is not the center of our lives, we have lost a great deal, and we misunderstand the scriptures, and our faith in God has turned into a religion. That religion is so useless and so powerless and so nonsensical, really, it is not even a sensible thought. People say we are a Christian nation. Our president has said we are no longer a Christian nation. Now, I believe that within this nation, there are Christians. That is, those that are born again, those that have become the church of the firstborn. And these people are alive in Christ, and they're Christocentric. They have Christ as the center of their lives. The ethics of Christianity, which is discussed in great detail on all sorts of programs and in our media, it doesn't make sense to have all of the bits and pieces of what we ought to be and what we should be until we know that we are. Jesus is our Savior. Jesus is the presence of our lives. And we need to be born again, born of the Spirit. Now, how does this take place? It takes place when I repent of sin. It takes place when I recognize that I can't do anything about my sin. It is always with me. The Apostle Paul says this. He says, you know, there are things that I do I wish I didn't do, and there are things that I don't do that I wish I did do. Then he skips a beat or two and he says, who's going to deliver us from this calamity of life? Is the impression that he gives. And then he turns and says this beautiful words, thanks be to God that giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Only in Jesus is there victory. The old hymn, Victory in Jesus, some love to sing it lustily and powerfully, others sort of look at it rather in a scrutinizing manner. Whichever way you look at such a lovely hymn is beside the point. The very point that must be made and must be understood is this, that Jesus is the victory that we have in our hearts, not one that we apply to our hearts. We are victorious in Christ. Listen to Paul again, for me to live is Christ, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Ah, the apostle has a secret. The apostle has an understanding. He has something in his mind that we need to get into our hearts. And that is, we have to be Christ-centered. The whole object of Christmas, in my opinion, is not the gifts nor the giving. It is to understand that in the beginning, the first Christmas was when God so loved this world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever was believing in him would never perish but have everlasting life. This is the gift of God. This was the first Christmas God gave his only Son. Now notice, please, in this beautiful piece of Scripture, the Apostle says in 1 John 3:9, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that that is born of the Spirit is spirit. Understand, which is born of the Spirit is of God. And understand from John 6 and verse 63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. So let's look at Christmas again. What did you get this Christmas? What blessings poured out on the floor from under the Christmas tree? How much debt did some of you go into so that you could have a wonderful Christmas? One Christmas, at the end of the day, I was sitting with a family in their home, not our home, theirs, and the wife said to me, were you blessed? And I said, I was mighty blessed. Thank you very much. The presents for my children, the presents for my wife and myself were absolutely lovely. Thank you. And I noticed all the presents for your children, and they had four, and for your husband. What lovely presents. And she said, yes, but I shall still be paying for them in December next year. And I wanted to give her all the presents that she had given to my family back. I did not want a person to go into debt to give me something, though I recognized the love with which it was given. I felt despondent that this lady had spent so much money. Later, in the conversation, her husband, who was a dear, dear friend of mine, he said, well, she's maxed out two credit cards this Christmas. I don't know what that is in real figures, but I know that they had a great deal of joy, but it was on borrowed money. I hope you didn't do it, though I'm sure some of you did. You didn't want to disappoint, yet some of you did go over the cliff, as it were, and spend too much. What is too much? It's what you can't afford. And if you had to borrow, you couldn't afford it. Oh, dear, you say, what a killjoy. It's just over Christmas, and here you are telling us we've done things wrong. Not really. I'm saying to you, there's a better way. Christmas is to give more of Jesus to your family, more of Jesus to those that are close to you, more of Jesus to those around you. More of Jesus. You see, they need to be born of the Spirit. Not the Spirit of man, but the Spirit of God. They need to be born of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And when we say, Lord Jesus, I'm going to trust you with my life. I'm going to trust you with my soul. Wash me that I shall be white as snow. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Then God can work in your heart, work in your soul, and you can put things straight and right and be right with God. Peace in heaven. Now when the angels sang out, peace on earth, goodwill toward men, that was one peace. And Jesus said, my peace I give unto you. This is not a negotiation. This is not some spiritual political move. This is not something that we create between one group and another and compromise. This is not a negotiation. Jesus said, my peace I give to you. And if you didn't receive the peace of God that passeth all understanding and that fadeth not away this Christmas, you wasted Christmas. I like wearing cashmere sweaters. They're light, they're warm, and if you travel overseas, you can pack a couple of them in your bag and you hardly know you're carrying anything. So I have four or five of these sweaters that have been given to me over the years. A few days ago, I wanted to wear my red sweater, so I pulled it out. Guess what? Some wretched moths had gotten into the closet, and the moths had chewed holes all over my nice sweater. I was so upset. What a waste of a lot of money. And I really hadn't had a lot of wear out of that sweater. It was so nice I kept it for special occasions. What a silly thing to do. And the moths got in and destroyed it. Oh, I shall wear it around the house. I shall wear it at different times, but not to show it off or not to be looking smart. It'll just be one of those things that I wish I had and don't have any more. It's more holy than righteous, to be truthful. Interestingly enough, that happens to our souls. That happens to our hearts. That happens to our inner being. We don't want to lay up treasure where moth and rust can corrupt or eat up. We don't want to put our treasures in banks. Move your treasures out of banks. Give it to the pastors. Give it to the missionaries. Give it to people who are in the Lord's work. Invest in the people that are around you. I was impressed the other day, for I must confess I'd never seen this before in the Word of God. But if you'll turn with me to Hebrews, and I'm using the King James Version. It's important because it's slightly different in the Authorized Version. The words are shielded. But look at chapter 13 and verse 16. Do not forget to do good and to share, and to share. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. When I give to people, I am sharing. I don't have a lot, but I have everything I need because God has shared his goodness with me. So I share that same goodness and put it back into the environment of spirituality, and I share with other people. And that's what we should do with our riches. That's what we should do with our belongings. That's what we should do. We should be free and feel free to share. Do not forget, he says in this piece, to do good things, and to share. That means share is different to good. In sharing with people, you will do good. It doesn't necessarily mean the other way around. You can be good to a person without sharing anything. So it's important for you and I to understand the best thing we can share with people is not money and not things, but the best thing we can give is more about Jesus. The old hymn, more about Jesus I would know, more of his saving fullness know. Oh, let's share Jesus. Not that he is divisible, not that we can package him in little parcels, but let us share with one another who Jesus is, what this great gift of God is, that the heart of a person, the spirit of a person, may be born again. That which is spirit is spirit. It's important that we approach such people with this wonderful Spirit of God. In the second verse of Genesis 1, we discover the earth became. I'm just going to stop at that point. It became. God gave to us this earth that has become our dwelling place. Somewhere between verses 1 and 2, there seems to be a desolation, a waste. But God has given us the earth that we now see with its glorious mountains and beautiful colourings, skyscapes, landscapes, seascapes, all these remarkable things. God has given us this. Now let's apply this to our souls and our hearts. 6 days before Adam, God started the work of restoration. And in verses 2 and 3, we read that the exact order is the one that produces this new life, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was creating on God's behalf. The Holy Spirit, being the third person of the Trinity, was speaking, was causing, and this great creation came about. And one of the things that has always sort of gripped me is what happened in this new creation. It was a creation that was darkness, and God said, "Let there be light." In a former program, I have said to you, the light of God is Jesus. The light of liberty is Jesus. The light of the world is Jesus. And it's important to understand the imperative necessity of new birth. He cannot enter the kingdom of God unless he is born again. Verse 5 in John 3 tells us this. "Most assuredly, I say, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Born of water, natural birth. Born of the Spirit, supernatural birth. My son has a car, and it's a 6-cylinder, but it's supercharged. And so it goes faster than an ordinary car with 6 cylinders of the same make and class and all that sort of thing. So it is here. We were born into this earth of the earth, earthy. But now we are born again because Jesus came into the world, and the gift that God gave us in Jesus is new life, new. We can now see things from God's point of view instead of always seeing things from man's point of view. Man's point of view is so limited. God's point of view is totally without limits. What is the length of the love of God? It's limitless. What is the breadth of the love of God? Limitless. What is the height of the love of God? Limitless. And what is the depth? The depth Satan would have you believe is where he is. And Satan would encourage you and I to believe that we need to be lifted up in order to be saved, but it's a useless thing to do because Jesus is not God. That's what Satan says. Jesus may be a prophet, but he is not God. That's the gospel of Satan. And wherever you hear it, make sure you repudiate it. Make sure you back away from it. Do not accept what people say. Jesus was the Savior of the world. Now we looked at this great birth of Jesus, this mysterious birth. Isaiah had predicted in the 9th chapter of his great prophecy that Jesus would be born of a virgin, which boggles the mind of men. Satan has plagued us with the impossibility of that and the absolute nonsense that it sounds. But God does not do things the way men think. God does things the way God does things. There is nothing impossible with God. All things are possible with God. So it is that we can come in our youth and in our old age and thank God for the first Christmas that we ever experienced, and thank God for the first Christmas that was ever made. God gave his only begotten Son. What more could he give? What was of greater value? "This is my beloved Son," he said to John Baptist. "Hear ye him. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." God spoke so amazingly clearly. That's not a very good piece of English. The clarity of which God spoke was so amazingly wonderful. "This is my Son. I am pleased. Listen to him." And what did Jesus say? "Young or old, come unto me, and I will rest you. You will receive my joy. It shall remain within you. Nobody can take it away. Nobody can rob you. Not even the moths and the crinkly, crusty old things that are in the world. This cannot cankerize." I don't think there's such a word, but it's a beautiful word. It cannot cankerize. So I leave with you some of these thoughts. They're beautiful thoughts. You might take them into your heart and mind. Please pray with me. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you that obeying your Father in heaven, filled with your Spirit, you came to this earth and breathed upon man that he could receive the Spirit of new birth. Will you this day show us this new birth, that we may rejoice in a new Christmas of trusting Jesus? And we pray these things in your name and for your sake. Amen. Thank you for listening. Goodbye. God bless you.